Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 43. We've had a fun pre-podcast discussion, so we're moving on to a much more enjoyable discussion of Crossed. No, but happy C-Day, everybody, if you came out. Hopefully you got some Crossed stuff. I think I have one copy left of A Man Being Eaten by Birds and Smiling. Gotta love that. Gotta love Crossed. Okay, we'll move around the table and tell you who I'm. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. To my left is...
Adam Russell.
Joe F.
Ryan Sargent.
Jeremy Dan.
Back from Dublin, Sean Wheatley.
With a little accent. Listen to that. Okay. And Nick's not joining us because he doesn't like us anymore. I know, I'm sorry. But I figured we'd just talk about stuff we read. It hasn't been a whole lot of stuff in the news. I guess we can talk about anything that anybody wants to talk about.
What about stuff we did?
Sure. Now, I know Sean went to the Image Expo, so he can talk a little bit about that. This was an absolutely fantastic week for books. I don't know if everybody had a chance to come into a store, but just a lot of stuff came out this week. And I only waded through a little bit of it last night, so my reading pile is still big.
I always like to see comics listed in my hotel version of the USA Today. So yesterday they had the little blurb on the new Avengers Assemble.
Okay.
That came out today?
Yep. What'd they say about it?
That it was coming out.
Right, you said, yeah. Right. Marvel press release, but it got some play, which is good.
And a color cover. So, that always helps. Yeah. I always get the email from Mom, hey, there's those funny books you like in the newspaper.
But the big book that I think came out today, or what I think is the big book that came out, was Saga by the new Brian K. Vaughan's Return to Comics, which was very good.
Did you say Saga?
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 I said Saga.
I did say Saga. What is it? It's Saga?
It's Saga.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Depends on what part of the country you're from.
Jeez. Some people say pen and pin.
Yes.
The correct part of the country.
Kind of funny, yeah. But really, really good book. I don't know how it's sold today, but I ordered a boatload. I took advantage of an offer that I realized after I took advantage of the offer that the offer didn't apply to me.
Oh.
So... come and buy lots, but I've sold a lot of it today, and it's really neat. It's a double-sized book, $2.99, basically like an outer space story, kind of Romeo and Juliet, two people on opposite sides of these warring factions get together and have a kid. And
hey, if nothing else, Rich Johnson says it's already selling for $9 on eBay.
There you go, yep. So come get it for $2.99 and triple your money.
There's a lot of comics.
There's a lot to it. It's a really good book. Of course, Crossed Badlands came out. Garth Ennis and Jason Burroughs returned to Crossed, which was nice because it's toned down a little bit from David Laffam's last two arcs, and it's going to be a bi-weekly. So as much as I yell about double shipping, this one's kind of planned for that in the beginning. So just lots of stuff out this week. So I know you guys haven't read everything, so
I read a few things last week.
Okay, what did you read last week, Adam? What did you like?
One thing that I really liked was they finally ended Avengers Children's Crusade.
I know, and the hardcover came out already.
Yeah, oh wow.
It's craziness.
What?
I really loved that book all the way through, and I wasn't expecting to like it that much. Especially, I'm not a big Young Avengers fan. I really don't know much about the Young Avengers. But, the whole story behind the whole Scarlet Witch thing and stuff, frankly, it is kind of an Avengers versus X-Men story, kind of already, in a way. It's more that they're...
Is it a prequel?
Huh? Kinda, I guess. I guess it doesn't really end in that way, though, that it's saying, you know, what it's gonna be. But it's really just a story of its own, to tell you the truth, that kind of ends and answers the questions of what exactly happened in House of M. So... But no, I did. I really enjoyed it. Brought some characters back that you haven't seen for a while.
Okay.
That were killed and killed a few off. So
cool. Very cool. Yeah,
right.
I can't tell you that. You got to read the book.
Patty Buck
Joe.
I've been catching up the past couple weeks, and I'm really liking. It's a reprint series. It's Steed and Mrs. P.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're a Morrison guy.
I am. Yeah. It's a Morrison series from the '80s when he worked.
So it must be crap.
Oh yeah. It sucks. I think it was originally Eclipse.
Okay.
And
I remember Eclipse. Not Pacific great. Comics? Yeah. First
that,
Comics?
They had that Marvel Man guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and
Miracle.
So I think it might have been called Avengers in the original run because this is based on the TV show, British TV show Avengers, which I'd never really watched. I knew they made the movie in the 90s with Uma Thurman. And
that's a horrible movie. Bonds,
yeah, it wasn't a very good movie.
Sean Connery was on it.
But okay, yeah.
Is anybody else young enough when that came out to sit there and think, oh, sweet, they're making an Avengers movie?
Then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I remember watching the TV show. Not live, but...
It's good. I mean, it's good spy fiction. And it's not... It's more, you know, you can see the little Morrison hints that he usually does in there, his little storytelling tics, but it's not the huge metaphysical mind-bending stuff that he usually does. It's really kind of down-to-earth spy story. It's just,
I kind of took his Leviathan Strikes Batman kind of be like a spy type story more than a Batman. Is that what it kind of is, spy story?
It's
a lot
more like that, yeah. It's not really mind-bending. I mean, there's only two issues so far, but they're really good. I would pick them up. Basically, it's... Steed is your standard upright British gentleman's gentleman. Works for the British Secret Service, that's Secret Spy Organization.
Bowler cap.
And right, yeah, bowler cap and always either the cane or the umbrella. Yeah. And Mrs. Peel, who's his partner. And there's sort of this, I wouldn't say awkward tension, but there is a tension between them because you can tell that she's, you know, the seductive British spy archetype. He's the gentleman. Even though she's married... You could tell that there is something between them. Maybe if she wasn't married, maybe they would be more than just partners. But that aspect of it is kind of cool. And they're investigating a series of murders of people who have created board games and belong to a fraternity of people who created board games and other games. And these people are all being killed in ways that reference either the board game they created or some other game.
That actually sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mystery.
They came out today?
Two came out. Either last week or the week before.
Fifth week of February, yeah. So it's a fourth week, fifth week book, depending. But it's good. Yeah, I recommend it. It's good. I like it.
I caught up on my Spider-Man books.
Okay.
And I'm actually really, really enjoying these little two-issue arcs with the clean stories.
Yeah.
My problem with them is my sales fluctuate greatly. Like, this last one, I think when... Well, the last one I have on the cover, it was Human Torch and Spider-Man both holding their breath in space.
Yeah.
I think people tend to not pick up the little side vignettes, and it's just crazy trying to figure out how to order these things. Because next week begins...
Evil Within.
No.
Ends of Earth.
Ends of the Earth. Sorry, yeah. So I know that's going
to
sell more, but
that's
it's just...
Second
it's,
time you
it's
wrong.
It's back to when they were when it wasn't just slot, but when it was different writers and artists.
Okay.
And you had a constantly rotating thing, and one would sell and one wouldn't, and it was maddening. But we're kind of back to that.
I'm
not
agree
saying they're bad,
you,
but I think
I really like
the
time travel.
I did
time
too.
Travel
that was
story.
I really liked
that
one.
Yeah,
and,
that was fun.
The point one issue. Did
I
you read that?
Yeah,
I like that book.
The Daredevil
I really did.
Black Cat was
with,
really good.
Yeah.
That crossover.
But that Morbius story, Morbius story, because you didn't really see too much about what he was doing there at Spider Island. They revealed who it was and allowed,
right,
or was
right.
It six? But they didn't do anything with him. He just kind of went into his, you know, sewer hole and ran
well,
off.
Now we know where he went, right?
Yeah.
He had a job. Who knew?
Yeah.
But even a living vampire can get a job.
What was his job?
Working
for Horizon.
Yeah, he's working for Horizon.
But no, it's been a lot of fun. I haven't
not
read the last two parter.
They're the phone company. Yeah,
the other, not saying they're bad, just saying crazy sales.
That would be weird.
Was that Avenger or X-Men versus Avengers? Is that like a preview or what? It was on the back end of one.
Yeah,
of
they're doing little previews in a lot of their books.
So
yeah.
Did you guys catch the Isotope? Well, because my other comic shop.
Is it an Isotope reference?
Isotope, and it put the actual address 435 Fell Street.
That's what I thought.
I thought I okay.
Yeah,
I did
so
think
that
I
was
saw
that
yeah.
was a nod to the Isotope comics in San Francisco. James didn't know about it.
Oh, really?
Until the book came out, and his customers started pointing it out to him. So
where'd they put it at?
It was
in
that
AVX preview.
Yeah. Was it like when Cyclops?
Was it just
so,
yeah? Was it that one? That was the only one I read.
There was that one, and then there's the one where Iron
but
Man.
But I definitely
yeah,
know I saw
one with Cap and Iron Man, and one with Hope and Cyclops.
I didn't read the
Cap and
Spider-Man.
Cap and Iron Man.
I don't remember
where,
the story,
what
but I remember the
what comic has that been on?
So it didn't really work.
I got it from the free AVX preview you were giving out.
Okay.
Oh, is it the
oh,
same?
Yeah,
they were both.
Yeah,
yeah
the
they were both in there.
Yeah, they were both in the preview. The preview had
the
roadmap to AVX and how the trade.
The Cyclops Hope one has been the one that's been in more books.
Yeah, that was
that one. I think it was that one.
The Iron Man Cap has been in.
Is that the also the one where they, that might have been just a preview online, but they showed the Cap was, went to the school, Wolverine school, and he talked to him about joining. Is that the same thing?
Yes. They start off talking to the president, and then they go talk to Wolverine.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool, like, actually, that made me really interested in this, to tell you the truth, because it still doesn't show what Wolverine's side's going to be, and I think he's going to be the most complicated character in that whole thing, because Wolverine has a lot of respect for Captain America, but he is a mutant, and he is an X-Man, so...
You know, real quick, back to Spider-Man, it made me think, did you guys see the story? I think it was Bleeding Cool, it might have been CBR Newsarama, where they were talking about Mr. Modell that runs the
Horizon Labs. Yeah, they think he's who he is. Who is that,
they
exactly?
They think he is, oh, I'm probably going to get this wrong. I think it's Hector's boyfriend from the Pantheon, from the Peter David run on Incredible Hulk circa 1993.
He has an uncanny resemblance to the guy, too.
Yeah. So the Pantheon, when Peter David was writing, was doing the Hulk, they were this like human rights type think tank organization.
Okay.
They had all this crazy advanced weaponry, but they took names of like Greek
gods.
Not even Greek heroes, but Greek heroes of the Trojan War.
Oh, okay.
Like there was an Ajax, a Hector, a Paris.
Achilles, things like
that. Yeah, and they all had Trojan War names, and Hulk got involved with them, and I don't remember how. I think they ended up turning bad, and Hulk smashed, but...
Well, that could play out interesting.
Yeah, they think this guy has ties to that group.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, something from 1992 that's never been in another comic since Peter David left it.
I've actually been catching up on Spider-Man. I started with Big Time, and I just got the second trade, Dan Slott stuff, and I'm really liking it. So now, you know, you guys are all talking about the Morbius stuff, and I'm like, I'll never get there.
You'll get there. It goes quick.
Yeah.
I caught up on Shade, too.
Okay. I've heard good things about it.
The only thing when I thought I had read that Darwin Cook was going to do an arc...
No, I think it's just
an issue. He just did that one issue.
Yeah,
so.
Every issue is supposed to be a different artist.
Yeah.
Every issue? Well, I've been enjoying the story, and although I've, you know, sacrilege, I haven't finished Starman yet, so I'm in the volume 4 of the...
That's sacrilege. I read the first two trades. That's as far as
better than some of these yahoos.
So I still have a ways to go yet, but I have enough of a knowledge of... that it's entertaining, and if I am missing a couple of things here and there, fine, I'll pick them up later.
There's been nothing to me, really, that has ties to the actual series. Like, you know, there was the issue one, like Opal City, the O'Dare, like some of the characters. But since issue one, since the Shade's been off on his adventure, you really don't need to have read Starman other than the sense of getting... the Shade's character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it gives you the background of the character, but honestly, I think people may be staying away because they think they need to have read Starman, and
character has enough of a hook to grab you, like, if you have no knowledge of him, to just pick up and, oh, this is a Shade.
That's a fair point.
But if you've learned about that character or have some other knowledge of him, like, through Starman or something, then you already have a little bit of investment there, so it's much easier to make that jump.
Which is kind of funny, only because I've only read the first two trades, so I have a basic knowledge of him. But one of my favorite of the Blackest Night books was the Starman book that was The Shade. Not so much about the story, but because it was Bill Sienkiewicz in interior art that I remember opening that page and somebody saying, oh, it's not Tony Harris, this is crap. And I opened it up and I went, oh, this is better, this is Bill Sienkiewicz. This is awesome. That was such a treat. Because I was ready to, you know, dislike it immediately because from what someone said... when they bought it.
I keep finding him in the oddest places.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be reading through some random trade of something, and all of a sudden, like, it'll be inks.
He does a lot.
Yeah.
And he's very, you know, so distinctive. I still remember on Spectacular Spider-Man, near the end of, I think the end of the first run, it was post-Clone.
Oh, okay.
And it was the introduction, right after the introduction, I think, of the new Dr. Octopus, the lady. And it was Sal Buscema's pencils, who I'm not a big fan of, with Sienkiewicz inks. And it was just the strangest looking book. You know, just I'm sitting here, you know, I remember reading it going, if I didn't already like this guy from Moon Knight, I'm a big Bill Sienkiewicz fan. But, you know, if I was just a kid picking up this off the rack, you'd put it right back. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, my entry point there was Elektra.
Sure. And oh, like Elektra Assassin? And
the Omnibus,
okay.
Actually.
Okay.
It was 50% off.
See, I was reading Moon Knight when it first came out, so it was fun. I can only equate it to, like, Tom Waits. When you listen to early Tom Waits, it's nice and clean stuff, and then it gets totally on its own way. But Bill Sienkiewicz was originally a Neil Adams clone. In the early Moon Knights, it's nice and clean and crisp, and then all of a sudden he just starts developing his own style. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, and then he gets into New Mutants, where I don't think anybody else could have done Warlock except him. And then now he's just totally crazy, but I love it. Same with Tom Waits, I love him too.
The collection of comics I had when I was a kid in the 80s had a few one-off issues of New Mutants. And being like an 8-year-old kid...
Yeah.
What the?
Those were the
I
most.
I think the trade just came out today.
Those were.
Or no, we just got it in the new half off selection.
Those were some of the hardest comics to get through because Chris Claremont's a wordy guy.
Yeah.
And if you're an 8-year-old kid and you're not, you know, ready to go through that dense prose. Yeah. All you have is the art to rely on, and when Bill Sienkiewicz is being Bill Sienkiewicz with Chris Claremont, it's just too much for an 8-year-old kid.
Caught up on $6 Million Man,
oh, yeah.
Bionic Man as well.
How's that? I remember the last time you talked about that, you said you weren't.
It's gotten less Kevin-y and more around the story. The last issue actually got me interested to see what happens now.
Oh, good.
Because the first couple of issues, and, you know, I don't want to spoil them, but there's, you know, surprise, he's not the first time they've tried this. Wow, where have we been through this before? But, kind of the first story is him confronting the earlier version of that, of the bionics and all. And now you find out actually who's manipulating and you know, what's... The story is actually real stuff's about to start happening now. Versus, you know, the accident building him up to be the Bionic Man, introducing Jamie Summers, who from the TV show was his girlfriend and eventually would become the Bionic Woman.
Right.
Well, because she's getting her own book now too, isn't she?
Yeah.
Is it the same character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
And does she start out Bionic?
No. Okay. Nobody's born that way.
You're made.
Make you better and faster and stronger than you were before.
Hers was something goofy, though. Like her
bicycle accident.
Yeah.
I thought
it was tennis.
Tennis
or was
accident.
She a tennis player?
No, I thought she was an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
Far before my time.
I got in Classic New Mutants Volume 4, and it just happens to be the Sienkiewicz, Legion stuff. And just, yeah, for a kid... You know, picking up that, going, what the
I think
heck?
I had
my little Cannonball. What happened to Cannonball?
I think I had a couple of the Demon Bear issues.
Ooh, yeah, good stuff, but yeah.
I finished, last week I read Action Comics, which actually jumped back.
That was awesome. Action 7 was fantastic.
It was good. And my only problem with that whole book was the backstory of Steel.
I didn't even read it.
That was horrible. I just didn't like it. I don't know. I mean, I thought it was just very bland and basic.
I think compared to what Morrison's doing, it's basic. But
maybe that's the problem. Maybe I'm reading it right after all that Morrison stuff, and it's just like... It's Steel, and he's gonna save these people from a bridge, and then he flies into the sunset.
No, I really
didn't get into it.
I like the art in the backup, and I like
the story. The art was good. Yeah,
I guess the reason why I like the backup story the most is because when I flip through, and for anyone who hasn't been reading, I'm just spoil a little bit. Brainiac took Metropolis; it's gone. So now there's a giant sinkhole in the middle of where Metropolis was.
Yeah.
And Superman leaves to go and try and chase after Brainiac and get Metropolis back. And I didn't even think about it until I turned the page in the backup story, but I was like, oh, wait, Metropolis is located
kind of in the center of all these rivers, they're having a whole bunch of problems now with boats and bridges and other areas of the continent that are sort of filling up with water now. So Steel is like, oh, crap, I have to fix all these problems because Superman left. So Steel by himself is, Steel by himself is kind of like redirecting ships so they don't, like, get sucked into sinkholes and holding up bridges.
I just got to the end and saw, I'm not a Steel fan, and I just
skipped it. I don't know, maybe it could have been, it's like, a little more or something. I just thought they were just jumping back and forth. And just
I think the couple before haven't really done anything.
Yeah, well, it was like he did the big cliffhanger at the end of 4.
Yes, exactly.
Where there was the crater. And then 5 and 6 were just...
I liked 5. 6 fell a little off the rails.
I think mainly because I think that's why.
He can do that.
And I don't think we know anything... we don't know anything of what he's going to do with that, too.
No, I love the introduction of the costume.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that his ship is inside the bottle talking to him. Lex is getting...
Everywhere Lex goes, outed. He has to find an energy drink. I love it.
Right, yeah. But he's getting kind of outed as the problem.
And we were talking about before the podcast, me and Ryan...
didn't want to revisit that. Okay.
We were
before that. Not the other thing.
No, we were talking about the guy who, the little short guy from, bartender.
The very first issue of Action, there was
Jim Valentino.
A very small man talking to Mr. Glenn Morgan, and he's popped up. And there was, in issue 6, there was the little guy that had commissioned everyone to steal the kryptonite in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
You thought that's what that's thinking,
And I had been thinking about Clark's landlord too, because I think her last name is Nixie, and she's been acting kind of weird. And I think in issue 3 she found out that he's Superman, and they just kind of brushed over it.
You said Nixie?
Yeah, Mrs. Nixley. That's it.
Isn't that Mixel Pitlick's woman?
It's her name is very similar to that. So I'm wondering if maybe it's both of them are in there.
But I can definitely see Morrison doing that's a very Morrison thing to do.
Well, he brought Batmite back to the world. Wasn't expecting Batmite again.
But with the time travel issue in issue 6, which I was thrown off of when I read it, and I was just like, what's going on here? You know, we had, like you said, we had the cliffhanger from issue 4, and then all of a sudden...
We'll be back. Well, I knew they were doing that because Morales was
taking a break
behind, so he took a break to get caught up.
My theory in what Morrison's doing, though, is that he's telling a time travel story chronologically from the beginning. So, in issue 6, we have Superman and the Legion coming back in time to just before he fought Brainiac the first time. And they mention there's some person named Nimrod the Hunter who shot Superman with that little Tesseract thing in his brain. And the solicit for June now is that issue is going to be the first time that Superman meets Nimrod the Hunter. So I think eventually, probably in a further issue, Superman's going to be like, oh, wait, I have to go back with the Legion for 3 seconds. And he's going to pop out and come back in.
I like how even the last issue of Superman tied into this Action Comics.
Yeah.
After Ryan's review of the last issue of Superman, it hasn't made it to the top of the reading pod.
It's really that line in the book. When Superman says, how does that even make sense? I was thinking the same thing while I was reading the book. But they do, in issue 6, they allude to him getting the Kryptonian suit. There's some other things.
In 7, he got it. So that was very cool.
Yeah.
I
like that synergy between the two Superman books, how that's been working.
Yeah, and it's very neat. I've been... pushing Grifter on people, and some people have liked, some haven't.
Yeah.
But the one that came out today was very neat and definitely leads into Superman and the Daemonites that they showed, I think, in the cover. Maybe not for the next issue. It might be the next issue of Superman. But it's definitely leading into that, which looks good. But that Grifter issue was good. Stormwatch, I think, has picked up. Mm-hmm. Got a little slow, but I think that last issue felt more like the old Authority stuff.
You know what book that I've just kind of just got kind of bored with is Batwoman.
Oh, they're gonna say Batwing, and I was gonna push you out.
I have
that last issue of Batwing was really awesome.
Yeah, but Batwoman, I'm not really caring for what's going on.
I haven't read since issue 2. So
basically, with the new arc, the first arc ended in issue 5. And the new arc, the way they're telling the story is like every major character is getting their own vignette. But the way they're telling it is kind of weird. So instead of it all happening concurrently, it's like Kate's story 3 months ago. And then later in the book, you'll have Kate's story 2 weeks ago, and then Maggie's story 2 months ago, Maggie's story 1 week ago. Yeah. And they're jumping around through time so much, and it's kind of hard to follow.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what,
so
artists...
So maybe better reading it all.
I think so, yeah.
Artists and panels with the New 52 have been, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is very hard. Swamp Thing last week.
Swamp Thing, yeah. It was good, but he's done it well. The guy doing Grifter is trying to imitate some of that, and the problem is... It works on that page and it works on that page. But when you put the pages side by side, you're wondering, is he trying to continue to the next page or isn't he? And sometimes it matches up, sometimes it doesn't. And
that was my problem with Swamp Thing.
Yeah, well, Swamp Thing, it's normally a two-page spread where they try to make it.
That's really what I thought. And some of them were not, but they looked like they were.
Yeah, so some of them looked like they were.
I feel like I've gotten ahead of the conversation. Why is Alec arguing with the Parliament of Trees? And
it was like, art-wise, a two-page thing, but the text, rather than going across, went down each page.
Yeah, I was confused.
But
it was
I
the old days of good arrows.
Though. I really like
that. They used to put little arrows and tell you how to read.
That last issue of Swamp Thing was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was good. And I like
that's one of those, my sole review
Man.
On a book is, do I want to read the next one, and how badly do I want to read it? You know, sometimes, okay, that was good, move on, I can wait a month. Boys is normally like that. It, you know, okay, I'm good for a month. I'll take. But some of these lately, Swamp Thing, I wanted to read immediately.
Batman's one.
I have to read it like Apocalypse,
the new one.
That was really good.
Yeah, I've been hearing like different things about it.
I'm just kind of I'm a little bogged down early on.
It's not so much an Age of Apocalypse book if you're a fan of the 1990s crossover Age of Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
It's really more of a taken more of a DMZ like post-future like burned out buildings kind of sci-fi take. Mm-hmm. And it's Dave Laffam kind of toned down. Which, you know,
it's a guy from Crossed, right?
Yeah,
that is the guy from Crossed. Family Values and Psychopath.
The guy who does Caligula.
Isn't he the classic Iron Man artist too?
That's Bob Layton.
Oh,
nice try.
He did. His big thing that he was known for as an indie
creator
was Stray Bullets
and Valiant. He was a Valiant guy.
Yeah, he was.
Well, it's funny. He did a detective run. Yeah. Just when I'm pricing these big runs books, all of a sudden I'm kind of looking, and all of a sudden
he didn't do that run. He did Dark. No, that was Brian Azzarello. Oh, okay. His was like a year long story called like Dark City. Or something like that.
Is that based on the movie?
When I saw his name, I thought, oh, Matt's going to want to read this.
It's supposed to be a really good run on
that. I think Bleeding Cool or some website just did a thing where they said that they were going through their back issues and they reread that story and thought it was one of the greatest Batman stories ever.
I think the problem is I think he was writing that in Detective at the same time that Loeb and Lee were on Batman. So it's like, good luck getting anybody to care about anything while those issues were on the stands. I think that's what... Because that was during that period where Detective had become kind of the artsy, standalone Batman title and didn't really have the action that was in regular Batman.
Right.
Oh, I want to give two shout-outs to Marvel. I know this is everybody's going to be...
What?
But I had some concerns about the Avengers storyline. I was enjoying it a lot, the current Avengers and new Avengers storyline, but I didn't see how they could wrap it up before AVX, which starts at the end of this month. But the Avengers that came out today wraps up part of it, wraps up the Norman part very well, very satisfyingly. I was worried it was going to be rushed to try to squeeze everything into AVX.
So they done good.
I thought they did very, very well.
They'll screw it up again.
You know how they are.
I can't speak for I'm behind on my Uncanny and not reading the Vampire Bat X-Men, so I'm behind on the X-Men stuff, so I can't answer how that's working. But I just want to give them a compliment to that. And the last issue of X-Force worked, where some of them have just left me completely baffled. Although I did just get in the Excalibur Classics with Alan Davis, just came in. They're on the half-off rack, too. So maybe reading that will make more sense. I'm hucking. But I thought it was good. I understand everybody's complaint with the art. I don't mind the art that much. It's not The guy who was doing it before, who was doing a great job, but...
Who did it before? What title are we talking about?
Uncanny X-Force.
Oh, we're... Okay.
I forget the name.
Greg Tuccini.
No, that's who.
Tuccini's doing it now, and I don't mind it. It was good.
It's just such a radical departure from what was. I think that's what most people are.
Is that him?
So I thought both those books have been good.
You know, to answer your question about the uncanny, they last week. I think it was last week's issue or 2 weeks ago, whenever it came out. Hard to keep track when they double ship everything. You know, sometimes triple ship. But anyway. The most recent issue of Uncanny wrapped up the Tabula Rasa storyline in, you know, typical X-Men fashion where they wrap it up and then have the little epilogue. So I imagine, so that issue wrapped it up. I imagine they're going to have one or two treading water issues, but Uncanny is basically, I think, ready to go.
Okay.
I think they'll probably... They'll either have, lead-in issues or, like, a one- or two-off story. But that massive storyline has kind of wrapped up.
Well, supposedly we're supposed to be getting a new X-book.
Yes, I saw that. Extreme
X-Men.
I was a big fan of that.
Which makes me think that we're not getting anything like a reboot or anything, which is rumored.
Well, maybe it's going to be like a soft kind of thing.
Well, I think...
They soft reboot all the time.
Yeah, they do it all the time. That's my only problem with that. I don't see them doing it. I don't see a point.
Maybe it won't happen. Who knows?
And they're bringing out books... with like names like Spider-Man, which that blows my mind. I don't know what that's going to be, but I don't know how interested I am.
They keep saying that it's going to be the biggest thing for the Marvel universe
since House of
the Ultimate Universe. So
wait, I thought AVX was the biggest thing ever in the history of comics.
To crack the internet in half.
The rumors that I've been reading is that maybe it's not
if God created comic book
meeting Miles Morales, but regular 616 Spider-Man Peter Parker meeting.
They teased us with that before, and it started the whole Ultimate Marvel zombies thing.
With Reed and alternate universe Reed. And,
yeah,
but I feel like maybe
and that was the 666 universe, right? That's what they call the zombie universe.
Oh, really?
I feel like what they're going to do after AVX is something similar to
ironically.
I don't want to say like a stealth reboot, but more of they're going to reboot all the creative teams. You know, all these creative teams have been on the books for so long. You know, Bendis has been on Avengers for 6-7 years.
You know, to be honest, though, I wouldn't put it past Marvel to launch books in June and still do a hard reboot in...
November, December.
Yeah, like, because even June...
5 issues is a good
one. Yeah, that's a mini, it's a mini.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think of...
Is Spider-Man supposed to be a mini or a...
Well, what I'm saying is...
Anything about
it. They haven't... They've just announced these, and he's saying, why would they be, you know, releasing number ones in June if supposedly the world's coming to an end in November? You know, and they're going to reboot the whole universe.
You mean post-AVX, not the Mayan calendar?
Yes, correct. Post-AVX.
Because that's December.
Right.
So. But I was saying, you know, that still gives them time to get like 5-6 issues in. So it could be, I wouldn't put it past Marvel to kind of tease us with number ones. You know, while they're sitting behind their curtain, you know,
action
maliciously
figures.
Twirling their mustaches. And,
action figures.
I guess that's the thing, you know, how when we first had the rumors of Marvel rebooting, I was all like, okay, sure, because I would love to jump into Marvel. You know, I would love to see new things with Marvel. But now that I'm reading Dan Slott's Spider-Man, I don't want them to change it because I like it a lot, you know, so...
I mean, that's how DC did it. You know, Snyder's Detective was going great, so he kept on with Batman. You know, John's Green Lantern was doing great, kept on. Superman, not doing great. Totally reboot it. Wonder Woman, doing okay, but floundering.
Try something new.
It's not huge change. I mean, it's, you know, it's Azzarello.
It doesn't seem like a huge change from what JMS wanted to do, but it's just, I think the tone that Azzarello's using, I like it a lot since I picked up.
Biggest problem with Straczynski is he's one writer more than most that you can really tell whether he's interested.
Yeah.
Like, he can't do just work for he can't just write for a paycheck the way some writers can and turn out a, you know, relatively good, you know, script.
Yeah.
He either has to be totally into it or it's just...
It's like, I think with Grounded, he was interested more in the broader idea of questioning Superman's usefulness. And then after a couple issues, I think he got bored with it.
And really, that concept would have played better as a on-its-own mini.
Yeah.
Or a graphic novel. Something special.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting it into the Superman title properly just off of issue 700. I think.
And then it got late, and you had fill-ins, and people that, man, people ran away.
I mean, when the best Superman title on the shelf has, you know, Lex Luthor for half of it, followed by Doomsday, you know, when Action Comics was, yeah,
Doomsday,
you know, you're in trouble.
Has anybody written Scarlet Spider?
It's phenomenal.
Is it good?
It is.
I read the first one. I have number 2 and 3. At
it's
home.
Great. I highly recommend it.
I might spin out into that whenever I get to Spider Island.
I would buy the issues now. Cause...
Yeah, I guess I'll have to double dip tonight because now I got to go get that Children's Crusade hardback.
So. Oh, okay. It's right there in the front. How did you miss it?
You know, I have to say, speaking from a guilty pleasure point of view, since we've been talking Spider-Man a lot, they wrapped up the Venom 5-week event with the twist on the new Fantastic Four. It wasn't that bad. There were some of the issues, like the non-Remender issues. Some of them were hit or miss. But all in all, it wasn't bad. And I keep wanting to drop Venom because I'm not a fan of the character.
What'd you
but
do to it?
Remender does a good enough job that I keep buying
it twice.
Yeah. The trade that I just read had just had the .1 issue where they reintroduced Flash as Venom, and I really liked that.
The concept is really cool.
Yeah.
Because now it's reached the point where he's not even just government agent Venom. He's government agent Venom, recovering alcoholic who just lost his father to, you know, on the run.
Spider-Man.
What?
He's guilt-ridden, too.
Yeah. I mean, The psychology in that book is what really makes it good, like the Flash Thompson. And Remender does, you know, a good enough job of giving, you know, fanboys the Venom rah-rah-rah moments. And then, okay, let's go back to the, you know, stuff about Flash.
You know, really you brought up something that before that made Flash Thompson and the Venom, he was a big part. Well, he's always been kind of a big part.
The post.
Spider-Man, but when he loses his legs, he comes back.
Paul Jenkins did that, right?
I don't remember. It was a short, like, mini. One issue.
It was one issue.
I remember it was Barry Kitson art, though, wasn't it?
Ooh. It was a good story. It got a lot of, like, attention because of that. They had this one issue that had, like, the chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Chameleon comes back. He steals Peter's identity. He holds Peter hostage. He doesn't know he's...
But that was Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, that did happen, Ultimate Spider-Man. But anyway, there was a part where he has like a photo shoot thing with Flash Thompson or something. I don't remember what it was, but he goes up to him as Chameleon and he basically makes fun of him. He is like, he called him puny.
Oh.
And, you know, he kind of looks at him, gives him this stare, like he's
like
mad at him. Like, you know, I'll remember this forever.
Uh-huh.
They never went back to that. I always questioned, like, did he know
That wasn't Peter.
That's why he looked at it. He's like, something's not right here. Or was he mad at Peter?
Huh.
And I wish they would have gone back to that whole thing.
Because, yeah. I mean, the book I read, he seemed pretty buddy-buddy, you know? I mean, even...
Yeah.
I forget who it was, tried to send him after Peter to be like, hey,
yeah,
you should talk to
him. See, now that's something that was in Brand New Day.
Yeah.
So that's
kind of... You know, they're just waiting with this Venom thing. You know, I could see after this Ends of the Earth story... There being, because Peter still doesn't know that Flash is Venom.
Right. Yeah.
And I can see there being some huge storyline with Flash finding out Peter's secret and Peter finding out Flash's secret.
And the Spider Baby coming back.
That would be kind
that,
of cool.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
Isn't there a countdown on his missions? Like, doesn't he have a 20 limit? To his number of missions that he can go on.
Well, that's what they said, but didn't
now
they say that they got
at the end of the, what is it, issue 14 that just came out, that they wrap up this new Fantastic Four riff arc. I forget what the storyline was actually called, like Circle of Hell or something. And then at the end of that, the Avengers show up, and Flash had been on the run from Captain America because Cap found out that the government had Venom, but didn't know, you know, anything about who it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Red Hulk is in that storyline. Red Hulk vouches for him. He's like, Cap, this is a good soldier. You know, he's doing good work. And basically Hank Pym says something to the effect of, well, I think we can actually control the symbiote. So I think it's gone from the 20 missions when the government ran things to now. Hank Pym is in control of the Venom symbiote. You know, Hank Pym's track record, this can only turn out well.
Next human right. Yeah.
But, interestingly enough, Cap and Hank and a couple other people now know that Flash is Venom.
Okay.
So I can imagine Cap having a stake in that, because the project to turn Flash into Venom was Project Rebirth 2.
My question with this whole thing is Flash a secret Avenger or not? Because they don't show him in the AVX stuff. They have Thor on it. It's been a different...
Well, see, that's one of the big complaints with AVX is that Rick Remender introduces this new team, and he gets, what, 4 issues to play with the team, and then, you know, AVX, Thor is in outer space, so...
I don't understand why they think that they have to have all the Avengers books into this. I mean, I guess they did make it so, because, what was it, the last point issue, not the last point issue, the first point issue that they had a Secret Avengers... They made it as people know that this is a secret team. So they're not really secret anymore. They're not, yeah. And so I don't understand why they did that, because if they did that, they could have just left the book alone.
Right.
Because nobody would have even known that Avengers team existed.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. And yeah, they keep saying they show Flash Thompson as being on this team, but then they change the team up. For AVX, it's not even the same team up. They have like Thor, they have a few. Ms. Marvel's on it. It looked like just random stuff. So I don't know what they're doing with that book. I really don't. You know what? I'm going back to a little bit of DC here. We were talking about the short story at the end of the backup in Action Comics.
Yeah.
The backups in All-Star Western, I've loved.
Really?
Yeah, I've liked all of them.
That was one of the reasons why I dropped the book, actually.
Really? Yeah. You didn't like them?
I liked the first backup story that nobody else seemed to like, the Undead.
Yeah, the
Flash kind of guy.
Yeah.
I liked that one, and then I didn't really care for Barbary Ghost.
You didn't like that?
I could not get into Barbary Ghost.
I didn't mind it. I liked the Undead.
Is such a good title.
Joe,
I like that.
You haven't spoken through this whole thing, and now you're.
Did the backup push it to $3.99?
Yes, the backup made it $3.99, and it was the fact that I wasn't liking the backups. Plus, I didn't find enough variety in the first, like the first 3 issues. I thought was really good, and if they were done with Gotham, the first 3 issues, I would have been fine.
Yeah,
but then they're still hanging around.
Yeah, I had that issue.
There just didn't really seem to be much of a story. Jonah Hex was just going around bashing people's faces in. I know that's what he does best.
I thought it kind of ended, and then it didn't. It did, but they just kind of finished the whole Gotham thing.
Really?
Yeah, in this issue,
maybe I should have been more
and patient. He's following the guy who's behind everything in Gotham. He followed him to Louisiana, New Orleans.
All right.
And there he's meeting a new superhero, two like superhero type characters. They're masked. Mm-hmm. I forget their names. One of them is Cinnamon.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And the other one is, I don't remember.
Sugar. Spice.
No, it's a guy.
Paprika.
Paprika. Yes. It's a guy's name. So, yeah.
Blue's Clues reference.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because the salt and pepper.
Right.
Pepper.
Their little daughter, Paprika.
Paprika.
But I don't know. Maybe I'll get back into that.
My mom's a preschool teacher, so I know these things.
My daughter is a preschooler.
So. Oh, there we go.
So. Hey, have you done anything cool with your daughter lately? Go to any conventions?
Well,
No.
I don't want to cut these guys off.
Oh, but it goes Ryan's into the. My ending though is that they're going into the night of the what are they called? Night of Owls.
Right, awesome. Yeah, and I saw they were doing a crossover with that where they're going to do, like, I just think it's funny that, you know, it's a Gotham-related book, but it takes place hundreds of years before the actual crossover, it's still in the crossover.
And I was telling Colin that, I said, it just seems kind of funny that the owls have just, that the owls have time travel just to go after this bat guy.
I was like, what is going to happen? Yeah, like, why he's there. To die.
I thought it was kind of cool, though, because it involves the past with these owls, so maybe we'll see a little more. Yeah. It's not that they did do that, because it does seem like it when you look at it.
Well, that's what I thought that they were building to at first. You know, the first couple issues of Jonah Hex, or All-Star Western, rather, they, you know, he has that, there's that secret society of people in Gotham who are very well-to-do and very influential, but they're all part of this evil club. And I
the deal with, what was it called, the Crime Bible?
Yeah, they were part of the religion of crime, which I love the religion of crime, and that really interested me, but I thought they were going to tie it into Court of Owls then.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
I'm not, it might do that now.
Yeah.
It might be, because I'm wondering.
I want to know who the Court of Owls people are. Yeah. The lady wheeled out.
That's who I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, but what's kind of interesting about this, though, I think that it's going to make it more interesting than any of these books, is it's showing us the past of this organization.
Yes.
Of the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen the past of it. So it's giving us a different time period.
We've seen their pictures, you know, of them hanging out on the wall in their little maid mausoleum thing, but I don't know. I'm interested, and that's something else that I've been thinking about at DC books, especially with the relaunch. There are so many different organizations in the DC universe now. There were a lot before, but now with the relaunch, there's Shade, Checkmate,
Nowhere,
which
is going nowhere.
Shade, Checkmate, Nowhere. We've got Justice League International, Justice League Dark. And just all these different clubs and teams of people. Plus, we've got Court of Owls, and the Religion of Crime is still going. And I'm sure they're going to bring Intergang back at some point.
League of Assassins.
League of Assassins.
What are the spider ones called? Do you remember the going on in Red Robin?
Council of Spiders. Leviathan. Like, good God. Like, I imagine the...
It's a big world.
Somebody needs a shield.
I want to have a
Nick
book.
Fury here.
I
want to
see a book where they have, like... They could just call it the Evil League of Evil. I know I'm borrowing that from Dr. Horrible, but, like, all the heads of, like, Checkmate and Shade and Nowhere and Leviathan and League of Assassins and Council of Spiders, everyone can just, Court of Owls and everybody else can just sit down next to each other and just be nefarious at a table.
Are you reading Daredevil?
Daredevil
where he had this thing that AIM and Hydra and someone else all wanted, and basically his attitude was... I have this, you all want it, you have to kill me to get it, but you can't all have it, so what are you going to do? And it says, stalemate, and walks away with it. So, kind of a similar, there's a lot of groups also in
Marvel. Yeah, it was like AIM, and right now Hydra is actually split into two or three groups.
Right.
So it was like...
Because you have Madam Hydra and Queen Hydra and Hydra Bob.
And then, it was like the Hand, and I think the Magia...
What is that together?
That's why we're doing a podcast and not a video podcast.
But Gia, it's the Magia, kind of like the Mafia. But they had to use G's instead of F's. Yeah. Made it sound all fancy. Magia.
They could just call it La Familia.
Ooh.
Wasn't there a gang in Batman called that?
The Magia?
Yeah.
Not that I know of. If I remember.
But 2 weeks ago...
Where were you?
Yeah, where were you 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, I was home in San Francisco, and...
You were home?
Yeah, and Image Expo celebrated 20 years of Image Comics, so they actually threw their own...
Well, it's not consecutive years. Oh, sorry.
Their own con, if you will. And it was super small, super friendly, super cheap, super easy to get in and out of. My 3-year-old and I went. We took the BART, the subway from San Francisco over.
What's it called?
The BART.
BART.
Bay Area
Rapid Transit. Huh. And it lets you out maybe 4 blocks from the Oakland Convention Center.
So it's like RT, right?
Right.
So we have the T.
The T. Yeah, fancy.
Trolley. Wow.
DC we, just got rid of, we just got rid of all
this
the
is a subway.
Letters.
It actually goes underneath the bay. So you start in San Francisco and go under the water.
Well, that's
come
easy.
Up in,
we can't water. Do that.
Come up in Oakland.
Ooh.
In a tunnel, right?
We have Oakland.
With your shield and you're ready to go.
It was awesome. But so we walked down there, paid our, it was $15 for me to get in for the day, which I think is really reasonable for a con. No tower of t-shirts in the middle, no.
You don't like
that? No, and the toys were limited to, like, vintage toys. So if you wanted, like, the original Mego figures, yeah, you could go there. But if you wanted, you know, Series 72B of the TV animated X-Men or whatever, you weren't going to find that there. A lot of comics.
Did you get, like, any McFarlane figure you wanted?
The McFarlane booth, if you will, was actually pretty interesting because it had a big glass case on one side with, like, the way over-the-top figures. So he's working on this Walking Dead stuff now, so there was like a life-size skull, and you could like pull it apart and things. And but since you mentioned Todd McFarlane, I personally didn't really want to, you know, I wasn't going to stand in line to meet these guys, but they were accessible. Like you were walking around, and they were out and about. A couple of times that Todd McFarlane would be up against a wall, doing a interview for a podcast or something with somebody. I actually almost tripped over, we were joking earlier, I almost tripped over Jim Valentino, and I just never realized, you know, that he's
not tall.
That's kind of cool, though, that, you know, those guys were over that accessible, because, like, yeah. When do you see McFarlane show, at a though? Convention yeah. ever?
Now, the only one who wasn't out and about until they did the Meet the Founders panel, which then the line queued up, and you could go up and get autographs from all of those guys at one time and talk to all of them at once, which, again, if that's what you went there to do, that would be, that's the forum to do it in, rather than try to catch them when they're walking around or talking, was one, the only time I saw Rob Liefeld.
Right. You asked about Image United?
At the panel there. But you could get in and out of the aisle, so I had a little stroller for my daughter, and it was, you know, we weren't like boxed in because when I went to WonderCon last year, it was really difficult to get in and get out or even look or stop at anything. And then they had other artists and creators too. So obviously they had the usual cast of characters, you know, the guys from Chew, they had their own booths and stuff. But as I was telling Joe earlier, there was other guys like you might know from cons like, you know, Chris Moreno and guys you see at all the other cons were there too. They got tables and,
cool.
And showed
talk
up.
Talk to anybody neat?
I actually spent more time talking to Chris Moreno just because I hadn't seen him in 3 years. I wasn't able to get near his table at WonderCon. It was just too packed the year earlier.
And that's what, this weekend or next weekend? This
yeah, but
weekend.
It's in Anaheim, so it's not the same. Okay. I'm used to the San Francisco, again, where I can just walk downtown. And with your $15, you did get the Image Expo program that I handed out or that I brought some extra copies here. And then you also got the variant cover to The Walking Dead 94.
Okay.
Which is why I'm crushed Nick's not on the podcast tonight, because I don't read Walking Dead in that format, and I actually put a thing on one of our, I don't know if it was on Facebook or on our group,
okay.
the group page, the first person who wants it, and Nick was like, oh, I want it, so I shipped it off to his house because he says he collects all the different variants. Right.
Did you see the cover for the WonderCon variant Wally Wood?
No, but my Wally Wood showed up.
Good.
That was...
They did a variant cover of that thing.
Yes.
What's it look like?
I think there's an interior page.
I got the Thief of Thieves Image Expo variant.
Who's the writer on that?
It's Kirkman, but he said that he had such a good time in the writer's room for the Walking Dead show that he wanted to do a writer's room comic. So Nick Spencer is scripting the first couple stories, but there's like a lot of people that are going in to put it.
Get out.
Yeah, the first issue was decent. It was good.
Do one of the writers steal the story of another writer, or what's the Thief of Leaves?
Thief of Thieves.
It's if you've ever seen like a Cary Grant Hitchcock theft movie, it's like that. That's what really reminded me of. The main character's kind of suave, and he just goes around the world stealing things. He's supposed to be like one of the best thieves, and everyone wants him to pull off this big heist.
One of those where you think it's about one thing for half the movie, and then it turns out being about something
I think there
else.
Will be some sleight of hand, because it was pretty heavy-handed in that setup.
Yeah, it was.
Of like, you're the best thief, and we need you to do this.
Yeah.
It felt, for me, it felt a little bit like Who is Jake Ellis?
I didn't read Jake Ellis, but...
In the beginning.
Okay.
Same kind of, I was getting that.
I thought the beginning of the issue was stronger than the end. I liked the heist at the beginning, and then I felt it dipped in the middle a little bit. got more interesting at the end, but I don't know if it's something I'd pick up every month. So.
And then, of course, they had great big, they had a couple of different image tables where you could pick up anything and everything. Mm-hmm. Our buddies from Arkea were there. They had a really nice table.
Those guys are good. Mel Cable?
I couldn't tell you who the names were.
Okay.
But it was nice for me because I went up and I was actually able to thank them. I'm like, you know, because I love those. I love their additions and the Tale of Sand and just the packaging and the way they put, you know, you can tell there's like a lot of care that goes into their production of stuff. So it was nice to see them there. And then my wife met us and we went out for some awesome Mexican food.
Sweet. Can't beat that.
And took the train back. I also got caught up on, I started TiVoing, or not TiVo, but video, DVRing, is that what the kids are saying?
Digital video recording.
When I say TiVo, that's old school, right?
Yeah, what's TiVo?
Wait, date yourself.
I have one of those
man.
With a lifetime subscription. Doing me real well right now.
I programmed the VCR to record, so I got caught up on the last three episodes of Comic Book Man.
The last three haven't been bad.
Yeah.
The first two were terrible. The last three haven't been bad.
I think that's because we're getting, we're building up a tolerance to it. and I think you're starting to see, there must have been some sort of feedback loop prior to
I think
the
that's
show's
a lot
airing.
Of it is.
Because Grant Moore,
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Brian Johnson. First of all, he kind of clean, and he's still got the beard and the hair, but he's like got a haircut.
Less
and his
Alan Moore-ish.
Yeah. His beard got trimmed.
Yeah.
And the other thing I have noticed too is Kevin Smith sweats so profusely.
Yeah.
And he'll start talking and you'll see the sweat rolling down and then they'll cut away for just 2 seconds. And then when he comes back, he's bone dry again. And even my wife was like, where is there like a little guy under the table? I said, well, probably under the hockey jersey. He just jumps out and tells them all.
Have you seen Police Academy? You know, it's like that.
The original one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually, that was on Comedy Central, I think, a couple of weeks ago. It's been so long since I'd seen that one, I'd actually forgotten.
Oh, you guys don't know
it's been a long time, man.
You know, I've questioned that sweating thing too, but mainly because I was watching his stand up things, the evening with Kevin Smith, and I understood that a little bit because there's a lot of light and everything, and heat, and I was like, he does, he sweats a lot, but you're right, he sweats through that thing too.
Big men sweat. It's one of those facts of life.
Facts of life?
I remember that one.
I remember that show.
No.
So who were you after? I was a Blair guy.
I was going to mention... I can't remember her name now. What was the... well, Blair is the fat one now. Yeah.
No. Oh, now?
Yeah.
It was Joe, Blair, Tootie,
Natalie.
And Natalie.
Natalie, she was the fat one.
Wow, gravity challenge.
Enough. Okay. Adam, you can do your own podcast of your favorite 80s and 90s TV shows.
80s and Tootie had the braces and the roller skates.
Different
skates.
Strokes.
Well, actually, in the
different strokes.
Well, to bring it back to comics, so...
Click.
In the Grant Morrison New X-Men Volume 2 trade, which is available at Pittsburgh Comics.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I just...
Or in enough... Actually, you have
that's
it in two
digest,
different
yes.
forms. You can digest or...
I can probably dig up the issues if you really want
to. Wow. So they have the mutant prostitute, right? The one... She's the largest woman, but no one cares.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right? I know who you're talking about. Yeah, because
she... That's not Stacy X, is it?
No, it's not Stacy X. It's at a...
her ex Stacy?
It's a mutant gentleman's club run by Sebastian Shaw, and the favorite dancer is this huge fat woman who just stands there, but she projects images into men's minds, and she's like...
She's it.
They've used her before. Kind of
like that
they?
Scene
I
in
might need to read this.
X-Men First Class
okay.
with yes. Emma, where she's... Yeah, it's one of those.
Miller used a similar character in his Marvel Knights Spider-Man arc. There was like a shape-shifting... She was really huge, but then she was like telling Electro,
well,
"Oh, well, I can
there
make
was,
you want. I can meet
and those all go back to Great Lakes Avengers,
really."
Yeah, when Byrne introduced the Great Lakes Avengers, one of the characters was named Big Bertha, and she was a supermodel.
See, we pulled the
battery. That's who I was thinking.
But her superpower was Natalie to grow to blob-like proportions, and she had strength. It was one of those things, she had super strength, but her mass increased proportionately, so she was like,
Are we talking about Natalie again?
Once you get him on this, Colin, you can't get him off of it, just you know. That day that you were gone, and I tried.
A lot of that was Chad. I kept trying. Chad was looking things up on his iPad.
Okay, we might have to make it an iPad-free zone. Okay, you guys keep this up.
But anyways, those last couple of episodes of Comic Book Men, so again, I guess we're just used to some of the stage stuff now.
Right, right.
Like that guy had no clue that all of a sudden these three guys roll up with a camera crew at his garage sale. Okay, so.
Yeah, that was a little, but I bet you can find that kind of stuff there. That wouldn't surprise me at all to find that stuff at flea markets, and I'm sure there's stores that go to the flea markets. I just don't
know. It seems like the stuff people are bringing in is actually more cooler now than it was in the earlier
But you have
episodes.
To wonder, if this was filmed a while ago, I'm guessing this was filmed in the fall, it's like, why wouldn't you put your better stuff at the beginning? You know, it doesn't have to be chronological. There's no way anybody would know that the people are coming in chronologically.
Right.
I did enjoy the in that last one where the guy, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, these Migos are great. What's that? And talk about the Frankenstein thing. That was very cool. Their negotiating is fun. They're overpaying for stuff is greatly fun. I enjoyed some of that. Like I was telling somebody, the only thing I really wish they would do would have somebody bring in a box with, you know, the Death of Superman and First Spawn and that stuff, and have them basically say, these books really from this time period aren't really worth anything. So
just get that out there, so everyone
just to get it out there, right? Yeah. Because I'm starting to see the influx of people CGC, going in. Hey, look, I found these comics in my basement. They should be worth a lot. Where, you know.
Yeah, I read the sad story about the. This comic is worth.
Yes.
And I remember those issues too with that.
Was that before the last podcast, or have we mentioned that, or was
that
this
was
weekend?
The last podcast.
Was it? We talked about it. I'm saying the Bleeding Cool article.
Oh,
I can't remember. Did we talk about that here? Because that was pretty. I don't. If you didn't see, I
thought it was just this past week.
Was it cool? I made it into Bleeding Cool.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that was.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I don't want to brag too much, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, so it was funny. We came a collection came in that actually had some really really nice stuff in it, and one of it was X-Men 137, Death of Phoenix, and that is one of those books that has this Marvel comic could be worth $2,500. So it was fun putting that on the wall, and people go, oh, now I know what you're talking about. It's like,
was that a
that's
promotion
what
of some sort?
That's yes.
Was was it Columbia Bikes?
I don't know if that one was, but there was one right after that was Bikes. There was also a Toys R Us one like that.
I like
the very next issue was the Toys R Us.
Okay. With the Scott. Yeah, Scott walking away. Yeah.
I like all the promotions that you used to see in old comics that you just cannot have in comics anymore.
Sea Monkeys. Because it's illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sea Monkeys or X-Ray
States advertising laws have changed.
Yeah, something like that. You know, nowadays we get the Green Lantern banner at the top of the books for 3 months or...
No, it was 1 month.
Oh, was it? Oh,
it felt like it was every book.
Like 3 months.
That's like
upset.
The current DC one right now. It's like, stop.
Oh,
guys,
yeah,
you're killing the books.
Who cares? Oh, wait.
Hey, I mean, it's a very important thing, but not on the cover of every book, especially the one thing it has kind of done is it's kind of diluted the fact that it has the new logo.
Yeah.
Nobody's really made any comment about that because you probably do lose it in that banner.
I wonder if it's like a charity thing where they're going to keep putting it on the banner of the cover until you donate.
Until they come up with a new logo.
Anybody watch Justice League Doom yet?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
This guy did.
So that was the. I haven't even made it all the way through yet, which is a disappointment for me because I've been looking forward to each one of those direct to DVD animated movies, which is really what it is.
Yeah.
And I lost interest 20 minutes in. My daughter and I got bored. We switched over and started watching Superhero Squad.
The whole thing about it was there's a lot of. I thought there was a lot of just pointless stuff in it that they didn't have to change from the book.
Is that an arc or is it
it's loosely based on Tower of Babel.
This is one of Mark Waid's JLA.
It's
right?
One half Tower of Babel, one half homage to the Super Friends.
Meanwhile.
Because there's the Legion of Doom and a lot of Super Friends references.
But one thing I just couldn't get is the whole thing with Bane. And Bane going after Batman
or Bruce Wayne, knowing that he's Batman, digs up, it meets him at the cemetery where his parents are buried, and buries him in the coffin of his father.
I thought that was awesome. You're kind of spoiling a lot.
Yeah, but it's been out. We've waited a long time for this.
Weeks.
For like a week.
But they, there was no real reason for that. Like, it didn't prove anything why Bane was doing that. It had no reason to be.
I thought that was actually one of the cooler things.
I liked it because I liked in the book that it's basically Ra's al Ghul. And he actually steals the coffins.
See, now I don't need to see the end.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, ruined everything, man.
No.
Gotta explain that somehow. So,
Rosebud was the sled.
Yeah. It was? Oh.
I mean, I sat through that whole movie.
It was a sled.
Sled.
But,
Joe, you got... Oh, sorry.
Joe's
reading
thing.
This week.
I'm sorry, Joe's just gonna sit and read that.
One quick thing about Justice League Doom, those of you who are special features people, there is a most excellent documentary about the late Dwayne McDuffie on this disc.
I would like to see
it. It is phenomenal, and if you own it and you don't watch the special features, I highly, highly recommend watching that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I do like the animated DC movies a lot.
Cyborg, because I actually bought it off of iTunes, and the way they give you the extras is kind of jacked up, but if you copy it out and blow up the folder, you can go in and hack out the individual videos and then drag them back over. So I have the Cyborg and the Duffy.
Yeah, that one's the one.
The Duffy,
McDuffy.
It's 37 minutes long.
Respect the Irish. Come on.
It's really cool.
You of anybody.
I know. I'm back over there for 2 more weeks. Week after. Next week I'm in San Fran, and then I go back to Ireland for 2 more weeks.
But yeah, it's that.
So it's a rare appearance.
I also, next month is Australia and New Zealand, so
wow.
What do I get down there? See, that I have no knowledge of their comics.
I don't know.
Is it just by an issue?
Ben Temple Smith. No.
Phantom? Is that the...
No, it's mostly... it'll be probably very similar to UK.
I thought they had some... Like, the Phantom, isn't he uniquely... Or
he's African.
So, yeah. He's
based in Africa.
See, this one time we have all the iPads and nobody's looking, but...
Oh, you want to see if he's an Australian?
I'm pretty sure that's an Australian character.
I also didn't understand. Well, I understood why they put Cyborg in there, but him being in there was just, it didn't need to be. He had no real point in that whole movie.
You guys are obviously not Super Friends fans.
Because he's in Justice League.
Okay, he wasn't in Super Cyborg, wasn't
he? He was in the very last season, the Super Friends Galactic Guardians. The Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians.
That is rough.
I like these DC animated movies, but I wish they would start doing more original. I was telling Adam before, like, I liked Under the Red Hood, A, because I hadn't really seen that story before, but B, because I went back and read it after I saw the animated movie, and I liked the animated one better because I felt like they made the story better. You know, they kind of tied in all of the different things that Winnick ended up doing with Red Hood after that story and made it work. So I really like
they also didn't have to tie in Infinite Crisis
to the Red Hood
Red Hood came back because
he got to do his redo origin in Red Hood Lost Days. But yeah. I do kind of wish they'd start doing more original stories. I like that they adapt some of the more popular stories, like they did the Superman Batman run from Jeff Loeb, but next they're adapting What's So Funny About Truth in the American Way, that Joe Kelly Superman story. That's the next one, and then after that, they're doing a two-part Dark Knight Returns.
Cool.
Which, yeah, that's cool. I'd like to see that animated, but I also... Yeah. I don't know.
Wait for the live action.
Seems like... Now, you didn't see Justice League Doom.
No, I didn't watch it.
And you just ruined it. I'm not even going to bother now.
Dang.
I didn't ruin the movie.
Yeah, too
late. I ruined the book.
It's just not as literal an adaptation. It's much more like the Crisis... The Justice League Crisis animated movie. It took the idea of Tower of Babel, like, you know, Batman having secret files, and then it really took that idea and put it into an old episode of Super Friends.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what it did. I mean, I can't say it was a bad movie. I didn't like hate it. I just
sounds like you did.
No, I just I really did like the book. No way.
No one is more negative right now than Adam. I actually had to change my Facebook picture from Mr. Negative
to me.
No, to Quas.
Because that's what Adam made you want to do to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, he's a zombie online. So,
but eventually we did get around. So after we did look up that other thing, so. So my Warriors of the Plasm reference was true. You said, but he was the writer, not the artist, right?
I'm just saying Laugham's a writer. I don't know if he ever drew. It's fun seeing Dan Abnett is in, I think, or is it Lanning? One of them is inking a book that's coming up. I'm like, how cool is that? I mean, I granted, he did that before, but it's just neat. Here's a guy who's real fame right now is from being, you know, part of the team of, was it Dandy or whatever? DNA. That's it. DNA.
Well, Dandy, the new Dead
Well, it's Dan and Andy.
The new Deadwardians is...
yeah, he's inking that.
Well, he's writing it by himself. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's right. Landon's, that's right.
Is Lanning writing that or Abnett?
Yeah.
I think it's Abnett.
Did you see the other... There's another company that's going to start putting out artist editions now?
Really?
Yeah, I saw something about that. Hmm. But it was...
Oh, yeah, I saw it too.
I saw something... I did read something about that online.
So apparently that...
Was it Dark?
I saw that's going back to print press.
Which one?
Wally Wood. I had a funny story. I put it on Facebook only, put it on my Facebook only because I wanted to get some reactions from some friends.
Does that mean they're going to reprint
the Rocketeer? Oh, that'd be nice because I'd get that then.
I better put mine up on eBay quick.
A guy was in the store the other day. Maybe it was even yesterday. Space time continuum is messing me up. And he was looking at it, and he called his friend and said, hey, I have one here. Do you want it? And his friend said, no, it's okay. I can get it I have it for $125, which is IDW's price. And he put it on, he said, no, I can get it online for $100. I'm like, well, no, you can't. One, no one in their right mind is going to sell it for $100 because combining what I paid and shipping is more than $100. And I'm like, okay. And he left. And so just on a lark, I went to Amazon to see what it was going for. $395 or $349. I looked on eBay. There wasn't one on eBay for under $250. So I'm like, okay, good luck. I said, I might have to raise my price. Mm-hmm. You know, or put mine on eBay because I'm taking the display home. Yeah. And I have one left still new in a box.
I mean, those are nice books.
Yeah.
Those are great.
But I was just like, yeah, good luck. It's not always cheaper online. Complete.
Because Mazik Heli kept his art.
Yep. I feel bad. I felt a little guilty. So I had a copy of The Inkle left by Mobius. And because somebody on a retailer website had been asking, is there any in-print Mobius stuff? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, this isn't in print anymore? And I went and I looked, and it's out of print. And I looked online, and it's going for over $100. So I'm like...
The hardcover?
Yeah. The Inkle? Not the big one, the little one. But still,
I have the little hardcover.
The big one's going for like
$200. Wow.
Marvel was going to release Parable, and
they scrapped it?
Oh. Yeah. Well,
I remember they were going to do that, yeah.
It's something about... The reason Parable has never been available is because when Mobius signed his contract, I read this on the story...
Wasn't for reprint rights or something?
No. He got royalties because of some European law. That's the way... I don't understand it. But basically, Marvel had to give him royalties. So it's never been reprinted or maybe reprinted like once. Like, not... You know, as much as for how well known it is. And they were going to do this thing. And I forget, I think Marvel pulled the plug on it because of something to do with the rights or something. I'm going to
put that out now.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. You know, way to go, Marvel. You screwed that up, and now look what happened. And now they'll probably rush it out because.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a sad note.
That is. Well, we'll end on that sad note because it's my wedding anniversary and I should get home. So,
well,
congratulations.
Oh, thanks. 19 years. Woo!
Congratulations.
Like I tell everybody, we got married during the blizzard. So, it's fun wearing shorts on my wedding anniversary.
70 degrees today.
Yeah. So, that's it.
Well, thank you.
We'll talk at you next week. We won't see Sean for a while, but maybe we'll have a Nick. Maybe. Yeah. Or you'll be. What?
You'll have me on tape.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh. Send me that. So,
Joe, you going to talk next week?
Maybe.
Okay. Joe's just angry and doesn't like us anymore. He's got this look on his face, just a sneer.
It was something I said, wasn't it?
Probably. See ya.
It's because of me.
Or a few things. We'll be right back. a bullet, leaving buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Like my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on.